Hey, this is Nathan Jenkins from Loon Mountain Ministry, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. We welcome you to join us, the trees, the rocks, and all of creation, as we worship our great God. Enjoy the message.
All right, guys. So we're going to be reading from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. This is a little more uplifting than the last passage I read from James was, so that's very good. Let's all read together. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain and the earth bore its fruit. That was James 5, verses 13 through 18 from the ESV.
Thank you, Mark. Well, let's say a word of prayer. Father, once again, thank you for your presence here with us this morning. We thank you for your word and that you speak to us through it. We thank you that you welcome us to come to you in prayer. Lord, I pray this morning that as you speak, that we would hear your voice, Lord, and we would be able to discern your truth and not just stop there, but Lord, apply it to our lives. And we need your help with that. So Lord, we're calling on you, and we thank you that you welcome us to come to you with the big things, the little things, and everything in between. We pray this in Christ's name, amen. Well, I should have introduced myself earlier, but my name is Drew. I'm one of the chaplains here at Loon Mountain Ministry, and I have the privilege of sharing with you guys this morning. We are, as a church, we've been working through the book of James, which is in the New Testament, and we kind of decided to do the book of James after we finished an Old Testament wisdom series, because the book of James is known as a New Testament book of wisdom. And one reason that I really like the book of James is that it's all about living out one's faith. It's really practical. There's a lot of real life examples. And we said this about the book of Proverbs, which we were in before, but if you're not already in the habit of spending time in God's word and reading the Bible daily, I would recommend the book of James as well. It's simple, it's not difficult to understand, and it's very applicable to everyday life. So whether you're going to want to start reading God's word or jumping back in, as everyone occasionally falls out of habit, start in the book of James. I would highly recommend it. And we're coming to the very end of the book, and James is concluding his letter on the topic of prayer, as we just read about. And to kind of get us going, I'm going to tell a story about prayer. And there was a man who lived in Alaska, and he decided that he was going to go for a walk today. This man also just so happened to be an atheist. He was a lifelong atheist, but he loved the outdoors, and so one day he went for a walk behind his house. And as he was walking, he went beside a stream and, you know, was just enjoying the beauty of nature, listening to the babbling brook, looking up at the mountains, listening to the birds. And all of a sudden, he heard something behind him. And he looked back and he saw a grizzly bear. And then all of a sudden, the grizzly bear started to charge him. And in just complete fear and desperation, he said, "God, please help." And in that moment, time stood still. The babbling brook stopped moving. You know, the birds stopped chirping. Everything froze. And even the bear was just in mid-run, mid-charge, stopped about 20 feet in front of him. And all of a sudden, he hears a voice. He says, "It's the voice of God. Here I am. I'm here to save you. But first, will you believe in me?" And the guy was obviously stunned. And, if, and he thinks for a second. He's like, well, I don't know. I've been an atheist my whole life. It almost wouldn't make sense for me to change now after my whole life. It would be hypocritical of me. Everyone knows me as an atheist. I don't want to change. But you could change the bear. What if you change the bear? Could you make it a Christian bear? You know, surely he wouldn't hurt me if he was a Christian bear. And so God says, all right, I'll answer your prayer. I'll make him a Christian bear. So in another moment, the brook started to flow. The birds started to chirp again. And the bear began to charge at this guy again. And right before he got to the man, he stopped and he sat up on his hind legs and he said, Lord, I thank you for this food which I'm about to eat. Now, John Piper defines prayer as intentionally conveying a message to God. Prayers come in many different shapes and forms and can be as simple as a single word. Now, I can't remember the source, but I recently heard someone say that all prayers could be summed up in three words. Thank you, wow, and help. Now, I don't know about you guys, but who here was here for the first time today? All right, good number of you. Who walked around this corner and saw the view and said, wow? Yeah. Now, if that's intentional and you're talking to God, that is a great prayer. God loves to see us just in awe of his creation. But prayers, as I'm saying, they come in all shapes and sizes. They don't have to be long. They don't have to be rote. They can be just in the moment, a single word. And so John Piper gives this definition, prayer intentionally conveying a message to God. Why not just say that prayer is talking to God? It seems a lot more normal to say it like that. Well, the point that he made was that prayers don't even have to be audible words. And I didn't even really consider this before, but Romans 8, verses 26 and 27 say this. They say, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So prayer can come from this Spirit-level groaning when you see or experience something and you know that is not the way it's supposed to be. You know, when we see these wildfires that are happening in Hawaii, and now, you know, the death count is up to at least 80. When we see broken marriages, when we see drug overdoses, when we see children die of cancer and we don't even have the words. It says the Spirit of God within us groans on our behalf when we don't even know what to say, which is pretty cool. John Calvin, an older famous theologian, called prayer the chief exercise of faith. And I think what that means is that how we pray tells a lot about what we believe about God and what we believe about ourselves. When we're coming to the Lord in prayer, when we pray, we come with this understanding of our own need and a belief in God's willingness and his ability to help us. Prayer is almost certainly the number one indicator of a healthy spiritual life. And faithfulness in prayer demonstrates a recognition that without God's involvement, I'm in trouble, but that God is able and willing to help me. The absence of prayer demonstrates a belief that I'm just fine on my own, or a belief that prayer probably wouldn't make a difference anyway. So I really have two points that I think this passage speaks to us. Two things that I want you to hopefully remember as you go home today. And the first is that, number one, prayer changes things. Everybody repeat after me. Say, prayer changes things. That's right. According to the book of James, there are situations and events that would not happen or would happen differently if someone did not pray. James 4:2 says, you don't have because you don't ask. And this tells us that, in fact, whether or not we pray makes a difference. Just think about that for a second. Whether or not you come to the Lord in prayer could be the difference. could be the difference between success and failure. Could be the difference between safety and injury. It could even be the difference between life and death. That's how much prayer matters. There's a guy who goes to our church. He's not here this Sunday, but he gave me permission to tell this story. His name's Nathaniel. And Nathaniel has been a friend of mine for about 8 years now. And, this was probably 2 or 3 years ago. One day, I can't really explain why, but the Lord brought Nathaniel to mind. And I just felt the need to pray for him. And I sent Nathaniel a text and I said, "Hey, man, I don't know what's going on today, but I'm praying for you." And that was it. I didn't hear from him until later in that day. Little did I know, he at the time he was working here at Loon. He's a mountain bike. He's a big mountain biker, but he was also building the trails, the mountain bike trails at Loon. And he was operating an excavator. And as he was operating an excavator, it's really important that they know where all the electrical lines are on the hill, because all these lifts have highly charged electrical cables that if you're to break one of those, something serious would happen. But apparently, according to the schematic that he had been given, there was not supposed to be a cable in this area. Well, he was digging and digging and digging, and all of a sudden, one of his coworkers said, "Hey, stop right there. You're really close to something. Let me go check it out." And what they found is that it was a major electrical cable that was going up and down the mountain that he was inches away from hitting. And as he was talking to his supervisor later that day, he's like, "Man, if you would have punctured that electrical wire, you might not be standing here right now. Somebody must have been praying for you today." No joke. Those were his exact words. "Someone must have been praying for you that day." And that, thankfully, I was the most shocked out of anybody. That was a joke. Electric shock. Obviously not a very good one. Thank you. Incredible, right? It matters whether or not we pray. So when that person comes to mind for no apparent reason, when you drive by a car accident on the way home from work, when you're at a loss for what to do about your kids, when you feel like giving up, pray. It matters, and it could literally be the difference between life and death. And I realize that story might make me look like some kind of a prayer warrior, but I have to admit that when I'm facing a difficult problem or circumstance, I'm guilty of letting prayer become my second or third or last resort. Now, God has created me to be a problem solver, and that can be a good thing, but if someone comes to me with a problem, I want to quickly jump in and try and start figuring out a solution to that problem on my own. And you might be surprised to hear this, but when my wife is trying to express her feelings to me and I'm trying to figure out how to fix them, she doesn't always appreciate the problem solver in me. And for all you single folks out there, that was another joke. That was sarcasm. I'm working on being a better listener, and I'm also working on leading with prayer in my problem solving. James uses some specific examples in this passage to illustrate that there really isn't a time where prayer shouldn't be our first response. I'm going to read it again. It says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. For 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit." Prayer changes things. My question is, do you believe that? If we believe that prayer really matters and that it really changes things, that will actually change the way that we pray. And notice how James notes that it's the prayer offered in faith that will make the sick person well. I don't know about you, but I know I can catch myself praying with doubt. And I need the Lord's help in this area. There's a story in Mark chapter 9 that I often go back to about a boy who is possessed by an evil spirit. And his father brings the boy to Jesus. And his words to Jesus are, "If you can do anything, would you please help?" And Jesus' response to the father is, "If I can do anything, everything is possible for those who believe." And the father's response is, "I do believe. Help me with my unbelief." And I often find myself in that place of tension, like, "Lord, I know you can, but I still doubt. Help me. Help me with my unbelief." It takes faith to pray, and it takes faith to believe that God hears you. I want to tell you that he does. If you're struggling to pray, ask God for faith to pray. If you're struggling to believe that your prayers are heard, ask God to help you with your unbelief. I also think it's important to note that just because God doesn't answer your prayer in the way you want him to doesn't mean that he doesn't hear you or that it isn't working, he isn't working, or that your faith is weak. Now, I think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he's going to be crucified when he prays to the Father, "If it's possible, please take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done." And I think that's the way that we should end all of our prayers. Jesus is recognizing that, "God, you are in control. You know what is best. I can only see a small piece of the picture, but you know all things. And no matter what, I trust in you." When we pray with faith, we also need to recognize that God is in control and we submit to his will above our own, just as Christ did. So that was point number one, which is, prayer changes things. Point number two, prayer changes me. Repeat after me. Prayer changes me. Prayer brings us to a place of humility before God. It's humbling because when we pray, we're recognizing our neediness. Does anyone like to recognize their own neediness? It's not a super fun thing. You're a humble guy. It's hard. We're recognizing our neediness and that God is the one who has what we need. Verse 16 says, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for each other." Now, why does it say confess your sins? I think, in other words, before you're asking for something, make sure you're right before the Lord. Hebrews 4 tells us that we can boldly approach the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy. But when we do, we first need to be right with God on the inside. Now, to be clear, this doesn't mean cleaning yourself up and then coming to God. It means humbling yourself as you come to the Lord and being willing to submit to his will for your life. And I really believe, you know, this is why we sometimes don't pray. We're either too ashamed to bring our mess to God, or we don't think we need God's help. We don't think it's that serious. And it's not a fun thing to say or admit about yourself, but that's really what's going on. When I was in about fourth grade, I had brought a banana to school. I would not recommend bringing a banana to school or sending a banana to school with your elementary schooler. There's just too much that can go wrong. But I brought a banana to school and I put it in my backpack, and somehow over the course of the day, I don't remember what the situation was in my backpack, but it made its way down and it started to get smushed, and I probably didn't even know that day that that's what happened. But after a day or two or three or a week, I don't know, I started to smell banana from my backpack. And when I investigated a little bit, I saw that there was just this banana paste in the bottom of my bag, getting all my homework and my books all nasty. And for some reason, I really felt like if I told my mom what had happened, that I would be in trouble. And so I let this guilt and this shame kind of, you know, control what my actions, and I didn't want to bring that to my mom. And so I would just, like, I probably went weeks and I left this banana in the bottom of my bag. And it was like to the point where, like, I didn't want to open my backpack around my friends or my teacher because, like, I didn't want the smell of this rotting banana to like for them to see that, and then I would be busted. But eventually I had to tell my mom. And after weeks, I finally did. And you know what? I wasn't in trouble. She helped me get my stuff clean. And when it was all over, I felt so much better. And the result of it was a better understanding of my mom's love for me and a love for my mom, too. And my love for my mom grew as a result of it. And as an adult, as I think back, I haven't thought about that story in years, but for whatever reason, the Lord brought it to me this week. And as an adult, I now realize that what she did was a picture of God's love for you and me. That we can come to him with our mess, and he's not waiting there to strike us down or deal out a penalty. No, he wants to help us. He wants to clean us up. This is why Jesus came. You know, Heidi mentioned John 3:16, which is a really popular verse that many of you know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Often, we leave out John 17, which says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it through him. And we need to hear that God is not standing up in heaven playing divine whack-a-mole, waiting for us to get out of line and bop us in the head. I need to find my place in my notes here just a sec. When we're able to humble ourselves and come to God with our mess, it changes us. And that's what prayer does. And the shame that we were once filled with is replaced by a love for God. This is the Christian love. We love him because he first loved us. And when we humble ourselves before God and we ask for his help, he replaces our mess with his love. The second way that prayer changes things, or changes me, is that when our prayers are answered, our faith increases. Raise your hand if you have seen God answer prayer in a miraculous way. Praise God. Raise your hand if seeing that prayer answered strengthened your faith in him. Amen. See, when we see God answer our prayers, it always increases our faith. And when our faith increases, so do our prayers. See how that works? It's a cycle where we become more and more prayerful and more dependent on God day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. Scripture repeatedly tells us to pray without ceasing, pray continually. And as we do, our faith increases. That's why it says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. As I start to wrap things up, I want to give you all some practical examples or things that I use in my own prayer life that I hope will help you. The first, as I already talked about, use one-word prayers. You know, when you're feeling stressed, when you're feeling worried, when you're feeling tempted, when you're grateful, when you're wowed, say those things. Wow, Lord. Thank you. Help. Lord, have mercy. One-word prayers. The second thing I like to do is set alarms on my phone during the day to remind me to pray for different things. So right now I have the youth group of Loon Mountain Ministry is called 8-11 Youth. So I have an alarm set at 8-11 every morning to help remind me to pray for the youth of our town and for Nathan and the ministry that he's doing. I set an alarm at 10:02 in accordance with Luke 10:2, which says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out workers into the field." It's like, Lord, send people to this mountain so that others can hear about the good news of Jesus. So set alarms on your phone. Maybe it's for a specific person. Maybe it's for your church leaders. Maybe it's for government leaders, whatever it may be. It's a great reminder. The third thing, learn to turn your thoughts into prayer. You know, if you're coming to the top of the amphitheater and you say, wow, if that's just a thought in your head, turn that right to prayer. Wow, Lord, you're amazing. Or like, if you're having a conflict at work and you're struggling to know how to talk to somebody, Lord, help. I don't know what to say. Give me your wisdom. Give me your patience. Give me your peace. The bear story I told in the beginning is mostly a silly story, but it does have some truth to it. And that is that regardless of your past history or your track record, if you call out to God, he will hear you. Romans 10 says that there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God, but you feel like you might want to take your first step towards him, he's just a prayer away. You don't have to, as I talked about, you don't have to get your act together or clean yourself up. You simply have to come to him in humility. He'll welcome you in if you'll come to him and believe. And what he does is he replaces our guilt and our shame with his love, and he empowers us to be the people that we were created to be. This is what the gospel does. Scripture says that Jesus became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. He loves us so much that Jesus came to earth. He took on human flesh, lived the perfect life that none of us could live, and died the death that we all deserved, so that we could be restored back to God and have a relationship with him. And perhaps the most integral part of that relationship that God offers is prayer. You can come to him anytime. He'll always hear your prayer. Let's say a word of prayer and close. Heavenly Father, we're just blown away by the fact that us mere humans, who are we that you are mindful of us, Lord, that we can call on your name and that you not only hear us, but that you're willing and able to help us. Lord, that you've made a way for us to be restored in relationship with you, to be the people that you've created us to be. Lord, we thank you that you care about the big things and the small things in our lives, and that there's nothing too big and there's nothing too small that we can't bring it to you and know that you hear us and know that you're with us and know that you want to help us. Lord, help us to be a more prayerful people. Help us to humble ourselves and to be willing to admit our need and to not rely on our own strength, to not rely on our own wits and our own ability to figure stuff out, Lord, but to lead with prayer and to allow you to work through it. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that you've given it to us so that we can know you and know your truth. Lord, if there's anything that I said this morning that was not of you, Lord, I just pray that it would be forgotten and it would just fall away. And Lord, may your word just be kept with us. May it change us and may it cause us to live out your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We here at Loon Mountain Ministry are committed to loving God, serving community, and enjoying mountains. We want to thank you for being a part of our collective high five this week as we seek to be a light in the White Mountains and all around the world. Please feel free to reach out to us at info@loonmtnministry.com so we can get more connected. See you guys.